10, 9, 8,
7, 6, 5. Hey everyone, it's Darian Simone Harvin, and you're listening to the Am I Allowed to Like Anything podcast, the show that interviews people about their work, their lives, and how they are maintaining their optimism in this world. And I'm really excited to have Kayla Walker with me on this episode. Kayla is a six-time Emmy-nominated TV host and producer, and if you follow her on Instagram, you also know that she is a true style authority. I've known Kayla since I was in college, and on this episode, we talk about how we got to know each other, mentorship, and what it takes for a mentor-mentee relationship to work, how Kayla became a gym rat, or, you know, just started going hard in the gym and transforming her lifestyle. And also, what is actually catching her attention in culture right now as someone who works in media? Now, before we get started, I have just a couple really exciting housekeeping notes. First off, Am I Allowed to Like Anything is having a giveaway. All you have to do is subscribe to our new newsletter, and you enter yourself into the running to receive a curated box of things myself or a guest has mentioned in the Plus One segment sent straight to your home. So all you have to do is sign up for the newsletter and that's it. And you basically put yourself in the running to receive a really dope box of products co-signed by me and or a guest. And lastly, if you are going to be in New York City on Saturday, April 18th, I will be moderating a panel at HEROES, which stands for Heroes Original Empowering Stories, which is a day conference by Next Up. And it's in partnership with the Clive Davis Institute of Recorded Music at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. And I am specifically moderating a panel on authenticity and reaching your superfans. So if you're in the area, you should definitely come. The tickets are, I believe, $25 to $35, and I'll be there. So enjoy this episode. Remember that you can rate and subscribe to Am I Allowed to Like Anything on iTunes, and please do if you haven't already and you listen to the podcast. As always, join the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag AIATLA.
You cannot Snapchat right now.
Why not?
Because we're having a conversation. Like, wait until we get into the conversation and then Snapchat.
I wasn't going to talk to the Snapchat. I was just going to point it at us. Gosh. You should have told me you're such a bossy host.
There are actually some things that I really want people to know about, like, both of us.
Okay.
In our relationship, which is why we are talking to each other right now. And that is, first off, that I basically met you when I was in college.
Yeah.
You know, we did not meet in New York City through some, like, around the way type situation.
You are a Twitter success story. Because, I mean, think about it, right? Because a lot of people engage on Twitter now and they don't think anyone ever wants to take anything offline, or they might be dismissive of social media and don't think that it can materialize into something real. And back in the day when, like, Twitter, like, first popped off, if you will, you know, it was real, and you would really like, OMG, I think this person's dope, I want to connect with this person. You would connect with people without the fear of your life, or, you know, thinking someone was lame, if you will.
Totally.
And so you are a Twitter success story.
Yeah, no,
we are a Twitter success story.
And we connected, and you were so nice, and you told me if you ever have any questions. Right. It just told me to keep going.
Right. Because back then, I used to look at people's bio, like people that follow me. I'm like, who's this person following me?
Yeah.
Let me check out their bio. And when I had time and I maybe cared, I don't know. And I remember that you went to Emerson College.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, OMG, I wanted to go to Emerson.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like doing the whole transition thing, so I just stayed where I was at.
You went to Binghamton.
I went to Binghamton University, upstate New York. And so I was so like, OMG, this girl went to Emerson. And so I reached out to you and I was like, hey,
school's about to start. Best of luck with the new semester. If you need anything, like, reach out. Yeah. And I think you were like, OMG. I don't know why I'm giving you this voice, but OMG, that's so great. And then she like flooded my inbox with reels and stuff. Reels and video content.
No, I was like, did. And you gave me really good feedback.
Thank you.
Because I was at Emerson, and this is one of the reasons why I do love Emerson. And I'm actually quite grateful that I went there. It was a very hands-on school.
Yeah.
And there were shows and TV stations and programs and so much that you can get involved in, you can audition for it. And I did. And
like, you've been to the Oscars.
Yes, I've been to the Oscars. Hello, twice. Hi. And I would have went
twice, not once, but twice.
I've been twice, and I would have went to the Emmys, but I ended up like taking a leave of absence from school and interning in New York,
which I discouraged.
Yeah, which you discouraged, but was like
it one worked
of
for you.
Yeah, it was probably one of the better decisions that I've ever made. But anyways, I remember when I was going to the Oscars, I had a lot of questions about makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And you really helped me to just be like, this is what you should be wearing, makeup forever. You know, this is what you should be looking into so that I didn't look like a hot mess on
right.
TV.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a background kind of on our relationship. And then I moved to New York and you would like invite me to your birthday drinks that you would have and like to your friends and everything. And, you know,
and you'd be like, OMG, I think I'm the youngest person here.
Which would be true. And like, honestly, probably.
But you would have fun still.
I would still have fun. Yeah. Because I feel like I'm that kind of person. Like, I just kind of conversate with different kinds of people.
You're totally that kind of person. Else I wouldn't invite you.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't think we would still be in contact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would not be over your apartment right now.
Right. As you so frequently are.
Not as much. I had to stop coming over here because all she was doing, y'all, was watching Love and Hip Hop.
I like Ratchet TV. Don't judge me. This is a judge-free zone in my apartment.
You're right. I'm sorry. This is a safe space.
Ugh.
But anyways, so what I told you in the email that I sent you, it was like rundown attached with some talking points to give you an idea of the direction I'd like to take the convo. And I was like, I want this to be as candid as possible.
I did read that part.
Okay.
And then I didn't open the attachment because I trust you.
Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be candid and I didn't want to read anything and like rehearse anything.
Totally.
Or, you know, have sound bites ready for you. So I was like, you know, I trust her. I'm just going to let her do what she does.
Okay, yeah.
So I've read that part. Like, I want the Kayla behind the Kayla Walker show.
Yeah, I want the person behind the Kayla Walker show. If you don't follow Kayla on Snapchat or on Instagram, she starts every morning, and I mean, and this is also the trait of a very consistent person. Welcome to the Kayla Walker Show, not the Walker Kayla Show.
Yes.
And today is going to be an amazing day because we say so.
Yeah, speak it, you must believe it. Think it, speak it, and it will be.
Amen. So, yeah, so there's so much that I know about you, obviously, but, you know, and I want people to know that also when I send people rundowns, I don't send them the questions per se, but I certainly send them talking points so that they get an idea of what I want to pull out of them, especially for the nature of this podcast and what I know that people are looking for. And so with that being said,
can I just also say that I'm really excited and honored to be on the podcast? Like, I feel like I've known her for such a long time and everyone else has been on the podcast before again, I've known her since college, and yet everyone else has made it to the show before I. So I'm just honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know that you're being sarcastic, but
I'm being so genuine. Being so genuine. Like, no, I'm like, oh, she has that person on her show? Wow, she just met that person. She has that. I'm like, one of these days, I'll get an invite from Darian. One of these days, I'll get an invite. The day has finally arrived.
It has to be the right moment, especially with, like, people I know who are, like, glowing up and doing whatever. So
I feel like she had no one else left, guys, so she just asked me.
No, that's not true. We've been planning to do this for a long time. It just has to do with timing. Mm-hmm. So it's rainy today. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to tell people how we kind of finesse the rain.
But I am resourceful. Tell the people.
Yeah, okay. So Kayla, so first of all, we don't live far from each other. We live in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live far from each other. Kayla gets off the train. And she goes, I want to get one of those go cars.
It's called Car2Go.
Car2Go, excuse me.
Car2Go.
Excuse me.
It looks like a smart car, but it's a Car2Go.
It's a smart car and it has Car2Go painted all over it.
Listen here, it gets me where I need to go, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I came to pick you up in the rain so that you didn't have to walk to my place.
Exactly. So I'm really grateful because I probably would have Ubered, which was money out of my pocket that I really didn't want to spend. But also we live this weird distance where it's like I could absolutely walk if it's nice
outside.
But it was raining. So here's my first question
for you. Okay. Shoot.
How did you grow up?
How did I grow up? I mean, that's, what do you mean? Like,
so, see, this is why I wish you would have read the rundown. No, I'm just kidding. So when I pose this question to people, I want to know, what I really want to know from them is where they grew up. Mm-hmm. I want to know, did they have siblings? What parents did they grow up with?
Okay.
I want to know, like, what your childhood was like.
Okay.
What kind of kid were you?
Okay, so I try and say it as often as I can, but I was born in North Carolina, so I'm a product of the South. I like to say I was Southern born and city bred, or Northern bred, I should say. So I grew up in North Carolina, left when I was 9, right? Like,
oh, I didn't know you left that early.
I left at 9. My mom had left sooner and left me with my grandmoms. I had 2 like grandmoms. Both grandmoms were named Lena. Whoa. One was named Evelina, and the other one was just Lena. It was my father's mother called Evelina, and then my mother's mother, or stepmom, if you will, was Lena. So I had 2 Lenas in my life. So whenever I have my daughter, Lena's going to be in the name.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so the Lenas spoiled me like crazy. And so my mom, you know, I was in the South, very, very Southern. I think it's called, excuse my lack of judgment. I think it's called rural when it's like really small.
Rural, yeah.
Yeah, rural area. My mom left when I was young because she's like, there's no opportunity here. A lot of people lived in trailers, and this is no judgment against anyone there, but it was just like, you lived in a trailer, you had a factory job, you worked first, second, or third shift. You know, like, mm-hmm. that was the life. You went to church on Sunday, you got yourself a trailer, and you worked a shift. Mm-hmm. And my mom wanted more. She left when I was younger. My grandmas were like, no, you go, do what you got to do. This is our child. We'll take care of her.
Oh, my God.
Right. So
what did your mom go and do?
She went to New Jersey. I think my mom, like, worked in nursing. Mm-hmm. She did all these things. Like, I was just the only child in North Carolina living it up. I was my father was my grandmother's baby. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, the youngest grandchild. And then on my mother's side, she was the only child. So I was the only grandchild. So I was just spoiled to death. Like, if I wanted McDonald's, it wasn't a McDonald's, it was called Hardee's down there. Hardee's is becoming increasingly popular now, but I grew up on Hardee's. So if I wanted Hardee's at like 10 o'clock at night, they was like, Lena, this gal want Hardee's. You feel like taking a drive to town? And we would go to Hardee's.
Screaming.
Like,
oh my gosh.
I was so spoiled. And so at 9, my mother's stepmother, my grandmother, passed away from a brain tumor. And my mom had just had my brother a year prior. And so that's when I left, because my mom had left me with her mom, or her her stepmom. And so I left around 9, and we moved to New York, which I hated. I thought New York was dirty, disgusting.
Totally, it is.
I mean, I was like, oh my God, this place is so rude. I hate it. I want to go home.
It's all true. I mean,
it was, right. Yeah. I was so distraught. I'm telling you this really long version of my childhood.
No, I did not know any of this. See, you think you know things about the people who you know, but you don't. You really don't. So wait, so what part of New York did you move to?
We moved to Brooklyn. We lived in Brooklyn, and we used to live in Starrick City, which is like Canarsie, Silver, a little bit further than East New York, that area. But then we lived there for a minute, and then we moved to Georgia. Lived in Georgia for a while, and my mom then had my sister, who's the baby, so I'm the oldest of 3, and then from Georgia, we went to Philadelphia, and we lived in Philadelphia, and I always say I did a bit in Philly, because we lived in a really bad part of Philly, like Southwest Philly. You always hear about the crime rate really high over there, so I'm always like, I did a bit in Philly, and so I was there 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and then I came back to New York for 10th grade, and we went back to Starrick City and lived in Brooklyn and stayed there, and my mom moved upstate my sophomore year of college, and I went to Binghamton University upstate.
Okay.
So all of that to say, my childhood, I was the only child till I was 9, so I had my mother the longest, probably, to myself, if you will. Moved around a little bit. Oldest of 3, so I'm like one of the most, and I'm the most independent of us.
Okay.
Because I'm the kid that like took 2 trains and a bus to school every day in high school. While by the time my siblings reached high school, we were upstate, and so they were being chauffeured to school.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna pick you up, I'm gonna drop you off. And you know, we had different rearings, but I feel like mine's worked the best for me, you know, and made me the person that I am today.
So when you were, to me, I mean, also, you, I think it's good to understand that I've lived in the same house my entire childhood.
Yeah.
So I was born in California. I was born in Long Beach, but I moved. I mean, I don't even really remember living there. And then when my mom and my dad moved to Buffalo, which is where my dad is from, mm-hmm. we lived in the, I lived in the same home up until college. So like for me, it's like hearing all of that moving around seems like a lot. Did it feel like a lot or not? It just felt like that was how life was.
It felt like that's how life was. Like it was kind of like, oh, we're leaving again. It just felt like it was just that was life. Mm-hmm. Looking back, it was like, damn, that was a lot. And I think it has something to do with how I am now. Like I've been in the same job for like double digit years. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to my childhood and sort of that safety, that security.
Yeah.
Having a place that like, no, I am here. I am planted here. I don't have to go anywhere else. And I feel like, you know, so that might have something to do with how I am now. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I analyze it. And that's my answer for it, if you will. Like, yeah. Why am I in the same place for so long? But yeah, it was life. It was just life.
I don't know. I'm trying to think a lot about now, because before we get into career stuff, which I know people want to know about just because that's how my age group is, and that's not shade.
Is that what most people listen to the show to hear? I feel like they do.
And I also have, quite frankly, I do ask people about their careers and kind of their trajectory, or not their trajectory, but also what they were doing before they were sitting here with me. I think that also particularly in America, in like living in this society, you know, we are told what the right ways of life are, and that is to get a job. So much of our life is like shaped around these moments of like where you're working, where you're living. And so in addition to that, how you like maintain your optimism through all of this, like I'm going through this is like totally a tangent, but I'm certainly like going through a time right now where it's like, I like working in media is really hard right now. Like working in breaking news is really hard for me right now. It's like you walk in, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to break. You don't know what's going to be said. And it's a lot. I feel like you were going to say something.
Yeah. You were talking about like sort of like how you got here and sort of, you know, mm-hmm. go to school, get a good job, whatever. And it made me think about like, I don't recall like my mother ever telling me I have to go to college. Mm-hmm. I don't recall my mother ever telling me like to go do whatever. Mm-hmm. I just saw as a single parent, the sacrifices and the compromises that my mother had to make for us. Mm-hmm. And we never wanted for anything, mm-hmm. never wanted for nothing. Like we had the best of the best, mm-hmm. and we were good. Right.
Yeah.
But I know the compromises and the sacrifices that my mom had to make. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
So how do I not do that? I go to college. I get a degree. I get a mm-hmm. job. You know, like, mm-hmm. I just remember, I don't know, like, there was some sort of, like, no better, no how. And it was, despite the fact that there was no conversation about it, you know, like, I just knew
this was the life.
And if you don't want to have to struggle with, if you don't want to have to compromise what you have or want, for the sake of something else, then this is what you got to do.
Yeah. So you in a way kind of answer my question is, why are you the way that you are even right now? And like the person who I know you to be, you know, like really hardworking, really consistent. You've had the same job. First of all, you work in the number one market for news in the country.
Hey, that would be me. Like, hello.
Yes. You are a Black woman who like also started in this city.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, really blessed to have started.
And that's like hard to do. I was talking to, you know, who else actually started in New York City was Lester Holt, which a lot of people don't know, but I'm like low key kind of cool with him. So he told me
I'm
that.
Just low key kind of cool. You're
but
hilarious.
So I guess my next question is: so you went to Binghamton. Did you like it?
I liked it. It was so funny. First of all, can I just tell you my college process was so hilarious? I was so
please.
I don't know. I was like, I want to go to a Division I school and they should give out laptops in admission so that...
That's, you know, extra. That's more extra than
I was
me.
So extra. I was like, mind you, I applied to all schools, declined.
But you also had an idea of what you knew, how you knew life could be and what you could have.
I didn't figure out to maybe the latter end of my junior year, senior year, what I wanted to do. I wanted to work in television. Like I actually figured out after I had applied for college that I wanted to work in television and media. Mm-hmm. And I remember like, you know, just doing the whole college process, and I was going to go to Plattsburgh because Plattsburgh gave me an amazing like financial aid package. Mm-hmm. And then I got into Binghamton, and I was Nadine Maresco, who was kind of like, she was part of Liberty Fairs and my appointed mentor mm-hmm. and guidance counselor, if you will. was like, oh, you're getting to Binghamton? You got into Binghamton? You're going to Binghton. And
wow.
I was like, okay. And this was like woman that did not look like me, mm-hmm. white woman, but I trusted her implicitly. Like whatever she said, okay. She mm-hmm. always looked out for me, always, you know, helped me through my entire process. And she was like, you got into Binghamton? You're going to Binghamton. Binghamton is a better school. That's it. I was like, okay, we're going to Binghamton.
Yeah.
And Binghamton was cool. It was a great experience.
And so now you work at NYC Media. Well, that's one of your, like, yeah. 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah, I work at a local network. I keep it really general. I'm like, I work at a local network. Right? And so that's one of the places that I work. I've been there for double-digit years.
Here's actually, I think, what I'm more intrigued to know about is, number one, like, your social media following in that, but also how it's, like, helped you to get opportunities. But I'm actually interested to go back to kind of maybe the moment when you signed up for Instagram, the moment when you signed up for Twitter, and you were just growing this account that you had. People were following you. They were really interested in who you were. And I mean, talking about this doesn't seem career related, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, I'm interested to know, like, when for you did you have this moment where you were like, I could really utilize these platforms to do more of what I want to do on air, to fly across the country, cover different events, you know what I mean? Like, just to do different.
I'm still probably doing that. Like, oh, I can use this to do that. But mm-hmm. I mean, when I first signed up for Twitter and Instagram, it was just because that's what everybody else was doing. Like,
right.
And I was probably most hesitant about Instagram. Like, what? Like, my first Instagram photo is like a test shot, and it's the most random thing. It's the most horrible filter on there. With that ratchet border, if you will.
Yeah, they used to have borders around the photos that you could use.
It's horrible. Like, I'm still going back on my Instagram trying to delete old posts. I think it wasn't until I started blogging that I really started using Instagram and Twitter as a form of promotion of myself, really. Because otherwise, I was just being really frivolous with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I started blogging and sharing the latest hashtag OOTD outfit of the day mm-hmm. that, you know, it really started to sink in that this is a platform to promote and engage people about me and my brand, mm-hmm. right? And I also started blogging just because at the time I was bored. At the time I was like, I got all these clothes. I need to do something with them. And I was seeing girls that were doing things. And I was like, well, I have that outfit. I do that. Like, I'm doing that. And they didn't look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And who was in that space that I was aware of didn't have a style that I could identify with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was identifying with all these girls that didn't look like me. So I was like, I should just do this.
Right.
From there, it's kind of grown, right? And it's so funny because I remember before I even started blogging and stuff, I went on an interview at a major broadcast network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I had cold emailed them. Like, I think their entertainment reporter had left, and I found the general manager's email, and I was like, hey, I'm your new entertainment reporter. Such and such just left. I'm the one you're looking for. Just cold email and got an interview. After that, right? Sat down with the general manager of the network and I think like the executive producer of the new show, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you look good, everything looks good. But they wanted to know, you know, do you blog? How many followers do you have? Do you have an audience? Like, they were more intrigued by that than like, what's your teleprompter experience? Can you use an IFB? Like,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you know, I have all these skills and talents, but yet you're interested in like, what is my following like? And this was before blogging and Instagram and Twitter was what it is now. Mm-hmm. So if they were asking those questions then, now, that's why you have bloggers, YouTubers that yeah. are like hosting shows or like on the red carpet for major brands. And you're like, this girl does makeup on YouTube and she has 1 million subscribers. And it's, guess what? She's booked, busy, and blessed, as I like to say, all the time because she's got that 1 million followers. And so I feel like I'm going on a tangent than what you asked me,
no.
but it becomes this thing where it's like brands, companies, everyone wants to tap into that audience that you bring along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have those followers, it's like, oh, well, she's got, in my case, you know, almost 40,000 followers that we don't have
mm-hmm.
or, you know, that are paying attention to what she's doing. Let's utilize that.
Yeah.
And so that somehow, some way has become more important than the skills and the talents in which you possess.
Does that bother you?
It's it's mind-boggling. It's stressful, right? Because it's then not about quality, it's about quantity. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I need more followers, I need more likes, I need, what is my insight saying? You know, I need more and more and more. And it's just, but what happened to the quality of it? And that's why you do get really bad quality stuff, because they put somebody up there that has this trillion followers, but she lacks personality and she lacks skill and she lacks insight, mm-hmm. but she got a trillion followers, you know? And so some people know the advantages of the quality and they realize that they're like, okay, that's great, but like, what do you really like? Mm-hmm. Well, some people are just there for the numbers. So it's frustrating, it's annoying, but you know, I just got to trust and believe that what's for me is for me and that my blessings are never going to be given away to anyone else.
Yeah. I want to talk more about why, and this is, you know, getting into the theme of my podcast and liking things and optimism, is why are you still doing this? You know, why in doing this, I mean, why are you still in media? Why are you still on air? Like, you know, so many people, they kind of change careers or they pivot in some way. And why has this continued to be what you chip away at what you continue, the world you continue to live in?
And for me, first and foremost, I feel really blessed to be doing what I dreamed of doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this was just an idea, thought in high school. And never did I imagine that it would materialize into what it is today. And so often I feel like people get a job where they're just pushing paper, if you will. They just mm-hmm. got a job to like make ends meet. Yeah. Right, because you got bills and you got to make ends meet. And your dream sort of slipped through the cracks or whatever, and you just, or something else materializes. But the fact that, for me, when I was coming, it was rare that someone was doing what they dreamed of doing. And so I feel blessed to be doing that, right? So I feel not only blessed, but like privileged to be doing that. And really, I love what I do. Like, I love what I would do it for free. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much I love it. And so the fact that I get paid for this is like, what? Like, it's amazing to me, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I stick with it. Like, it's really fun. And, you know, I'm nominated for an Emmy 6 times, right? But it's rewarding when I tell someone's story. And they come back to me and they're like, OMG, I love that. Thank you so much. That's it. Like, that's rewarding for me to be able to tell someone's story and share information with others, with the masses. And one, for them to get that information, but for that subject to be like, oh my gosh, like, wow.
Yeah, like, thank you.
Thank
like,
you.
For
you
telling know? My story Absolutely. In an accurate way.
Exactly. Like, and so, you know, I say I'm a television host, producer, fashion authority, if you will, but more than that, like, I'm a storyteller, right? And so I'm telling the story of others and disseminating information that I think is useful and sometimes entertaining and informative. And so all that to say, like, I really love what I do. And it's been constantly evolving and growing. And I'm just grateful to be doing something that I love.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else I would do. It's a hustle. Like, anyone that's in media, and you know this, this is a hustle, right? Like, it's totally. A grind, it's a hustle. And sometimes I do be like, yo, I wish I would have just did some traditional stuff, like accounting, where that's just like, you do A, B, and C, that equals 1, 2, and 3. You know, like, it's just so calculated, if you will. Like, do you have to hustle in accounting? No. Do you have to hustle to be like, I don't know, an architect? I feel like you don't. Maybe you do to get like
maybe the top of your ladder, company. Yeah. But hustle in a different way.
It's a different kind of hustle versus this, like, you gotta hustle all the time. But I love it.
You get a lot of questions from people.
I get a lot of questions from people.
And I don't know how to articulate to people
Ooh.
How many questions you really get. You get a lot of questions from people about everything from TV to breaking into the industry to fashion to makeup. Like, you get... People just think that you are a book of answers.
Right. People, but you know what it also is? People, I think, for my personality, if you will, online, people think I'm their best friend.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, you're my friend in my head.
Yeah, like, pays the cost to be the best friend in your head.
Right.
Pays
like,
the cost to be the boss.
Right, exactly. Like, and I love it. But at the same time, people don't know I'm a bitch. Can I curse on?
Yes, you can.
That's what you got to tune into the Snapchat channel for. Because on there, you know, is it a carefree zone?
Carefree
zone. No fucks given. I am mostly myself on my Snapchat.
And I don't even know how we've maintained our, you know, relationship
Well, I'm not a bitch to you.
No, you're not a bitch to me. Excuse you? No, but I'm saying as someone who like asks you for advice, you know, like I ask you questions.
But no, but there's levels to it, right? Like there's you levels. Can ask me all day, any day, every day. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But when people just come through your DMs, like, what is that? I'm like, who are you? I know you follow me, but I don't know you and you don't know me, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, and I'm always joking. I'm like, yo, greet me. Say hello. Hi. How are you? Like, where is your etiquette?
Yeah.
People like slide through or they do things like what really annoys me. People like will slide through my DMs and be like, what's your email? And I'm like, so you just bypass my bio that lists my email to come through my DMs and ask me, what is my email? I'm ignoring you because you are not doing the work. You want it easy. And so I'm ignoring you. Or they come through and they give me whole bios and just to say I want to sit down and talk to you. And I'm like, about what? You just told me everything.
Yeah. And I want everyone to know that you're not exaggerating. I've witnessed these things before. And
I send Darian emails and I'm like, am I wrong for ignoring this girl? I send her stuff all the time because she is like, I mean, we have this mentor-mentee relationship, but I feel like you're like almost like a little sister, big sister relationship, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always sending you stuff like, am I wrong? And you'll give me this really heartfelt answer. And I'll be like, fuck out of here. I'm not doing that.
I still have some compassion in my bones. Not a lot is left, but I'm there. But one thing that we also talk about is you do get like some emails for people who like want you to mentor them or mm-hmm. they want to get coffee or dinner with you or, you know, they want some source of your time, but right. they don't always come correct.
Right.
And so I think that you've given like really great tips about how to come correct to someone who not only do you want to contribute to your life, but also hopefully you have something to contribute to their life
absolutely.
And so I don't know, I to me, what are you receptive to? You know, what doesn't turn you off from someone who approaches you, hey, I want to get dinner, I want to get coffee,
it sounds,
how do they do it the right way?
It sounds really bad, but like I want to be impressed.
Right.
Because so many girls do come to me and it's like, everybody wants to do this. And so you can kind of see through that girl that's in it for the glitz and the glam mm-hmm. versus that girl that says, hey, I've been doing this. I don't know, you know, how to sort of get out of this space and get to this level. I really appreciate when someone emails me at my email address and they, you know, they greet, there's a greeting. There's some sort of like my format is like there's a greeting, there's some sort of compliment, right? Like, which sounds really vain, and that's not a way to impress me. But it's like so that I know that you know who I am, mm-hmm. and that you've done your homework on me, right? And then like a little bit of information about you and why we need to meet, why I should give you my time, because I'm getting a lot of emails, and some people like if I have to scroll through your email, like girl. Do you know, like, I'm taking time out of my day to stop what I'm doing to read an email from a person I don't know about a bunch of stuff only for you to say, like, you want to meet with me. And it's like, why am I meeting with you?
Right.
Or people want to sit down and meet with you. They don't come prepared. They want to sit and meet with you. And they're just, so tell me about yourself. And I'm like, you're supposed to know about me before we, like, how are we here? Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting here telling you about myself, I want you to come with questions prepared because you are looking for something that you think I'm able to offer you because you've done your research and know where I come from and what I'm capable of, perhaps, and the insight that I can potentially offer you. Mm-hmm. So me coming to meet with someone and talking about myself, that's not beneficial to me, nor is it beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. But you coming prepared, knowing what you want to know from me, that works.
Amen. I mean, I agree.
And so, you know, I think you need to write a compelling email that makes you stand out from the bunch that do email. And it doesn't need to be long, but it does need to be effective. It does need to be to the point. Mm-hmm. Because again, you're asking for this person's time and attention away from their paid work. And also, first email may not work, but being persistent and diligent wins people over all the time. Like I've had girls that are like, so I'm just following up on my email and like reiterate what that last email was because I'm not scrolling down. Like right. being persistent and diligent in that, like that will win. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to give this girl an hour to sit with her and talk with her.
Yeah.
With that, people will ask like, oh, will you mentor me? And I'm like, you don't know me. Like,
I feel like all of my mentors who I have been, quite frankly, like organic.
I think that's so important. Or I think it has to be organic. Like, and also people have to understand, like, it's a commitment, not just mm-hmm. for the mentee, but also the mentor, because there's a lot of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to say, I'm mentoring this person. There's some responsibility to that. So a lot of people don't want to take that on. And I do think it's important for it to be organic, right? I only have a couple of girls that I mentor. And I notice a difference between organic relationships like yours and mm-hmm. ours versus where we were placed together.
Yeah.
Because of a program or something. Like, I noticed that difference.
And I totally think that those can certainly work.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's amazing when they do. Mm-hmm. And I also think that programs are important because I think that creating those opportunities also entries of access
yeah.
to like knowledge and opportunity into people
right.
and experience, those are certainly needed. But I also feel like so much of mentorship or like being a mentee, at least for me, is like two things. One, to make sure that as Darian, I'm working on being the best person I can be
mm-hmm.
Away from just a professional or someone who's great to work with or people like me, quote unquote,
right.
but more of it's just, am I growing as a person?
Yep.
And am I someone who feels like I offer something to anyone,
yeah.
you know, who's willing to talk to me for whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that, and then I also think that sometimes people depend on other people, and not just in mentorship situations, but just in, I think, especially within like networking and career things, it's like people depend on other people to get them to the next level of their careers, point blank period.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, I feel like a lot of times people are using mentorship as a facade to really like, girl, hook me up. Or who you know that I should know. And it's like, that's not what mentorship is.
Right. And it's like, the way that I really try to do it is, let's say if I'm applying for a job, I apply for the job and I do everything I need to do to make sure that I've like dotted all my I's, crossed my T's, reached out to the right person. And when it gets to the point where it's like, I have gotten myself this far.
Mm-hmm.
If you could help me in this, if you could send this email, I'm keeping you updated on
yeah.
this is what I have made happen for myself
yeah.
so far. I think that that's so much more telling, and people are so much more willing to help you out. It's like someone will tell you they'll apply for something, ping them, let them know that you've done it. Hopefully they can watch out for you. But it's almost like they expect you to help them to get the actual job.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Like, no, you have to work.
Right.
I can help, but you still have to be you.
And I just want to be clear, like also with mentorship, right? I think people also need to understand there's mentorship and there's sponsorship. And we always have that conversation, mm-hmm. right? Like a sponsor is someone who was like, they already believe and know, and they sort of speak on your behalf
mm-hmm.
in advance of, or, you know, throughout. A mentor, I feel like, is more, can be like a friend, if you will, but it's like an ally in the industry who can help you and give you insight when you're like, what do I wear to an interview, right? Something mm-hmm. simple as, what do I wear to an interview? You can ask your mentor that. You should not be asking your sponsor that. Your sponsor has bigger, better
things. Yeah, your sponsor's like, you're supposed to already have this
right.
together.
Like, excuse me, hello, what? You know, so people need to also understand what mentorship is versus being a sponsor. And that mentorship doesn't mean I have the answers all the time. But mm-hmm. I can help you find the answers and we can work through it together. Or I'm here for you in whatever way that you need me to be. I may not be able to get you a job. Like, that's not what mentorship is. People like straight up be like, so can you be my mentor? Because I want to get in and I need you to help me get in. It's like, nah, that ain't how this works, bitch.
I mean, you summed it up. I don't have anything else to say. I really actually want to close out the career portion of this episode.
Please.
Because I think we should make more drinks and then let's come back and talk about really fun
my
stuff.
Special drink. Oh, now you want to make more of my special drink?
Yeah. First of all, if people don't know, Kayla makes like really great cocktails.
Hi.
So
I think I'm going to call this cocktail the Kiki. That's my new thing. Kiki with Kayla. Like and this is a Kiki drink.
Yes. Okay, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, so we've refilled our cups. Let me get closer to the mic again. We've refilled our cups and we have closed out the career Kayla Fix My Life segment of Am I Lost Like Anything? And just have a few more questions for you.
Okay.
Let's talk about how have you been spending your time beyond working?
How do I spend my time? Oh my gosh. So people think I'm always like, they're like, you're so busy. You're always on about, like, I really love my couch. Isn't my couch comfy?
Yeah, I love it.
My couch
I would
is
live
so
comfy. On this couch.
Right. Honestly. Like, I love, as my sister would say, it's sleepable, honorable. Mm-hmm. It's sleepable, honorable. It's so comfy. I love my couch. And so I like, my favorite thing to do is just chill out on my couch and watch TV. Ratchet TV, SVU, whatever. Like, love that. Also, I really love, it sounds crazy, but I really love making memories and creating moments. And so for me, that's a lot with taking full advantage of my city. Like, New York City is such an amazing place to live. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's exploring something at the museum or like checking out street art, whatever, like something that's just like a great moment for a great memory. I love those kind of things. Like, what'd you do this weekend? OMG, I checked out this and this, the carousel and Battery Park. Like, looking for the next adventure around the corner. Mm-hmm. I also love to eat out.
Me too. That's something we both love to do.
Love to eat out. We don't eat out enough together.
I know.
We have our favorites.
We have our favorite spot that I don't even want to put out there.
Okay, let's not.
I mean, we could.
But it's around the way.
It's around the way. If you DM us, we'll tell you.
Right. Slide through DMs.
I just don't want people to find us.
Mind you, someone's going to slide through my DM. I'm like, who are you? I do not know you and you do not know me.
I know. Well, like, people have, like, spotted us there.
People have,
like,
spotted you there. One of your online. Okay.
I've been spotted there.
You've been spotted there. I love to eat out.
Yes.
I love a good cocktail. And really just,
Kayla,
those are things I love to
you
do.
You also have been working out quite frequently.
I have.
And I remember when I first got into my workout kick.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, I don't think I could do
it.
I'd be
like, girl.
She was like, you was like, God bless you. You looking skinny, boo. Ain't gonna be me. Never gonna be me. And now you are outworking me. You even had a show that was like, Kayla Walker hates to work out.
Absolutely. I have an Emmy nomination for not working out. In the lifestyle category, nominated for my series, Kayla Walker Hates Working Out. And, you know, you get to a point where you like, whether or not you hate it, like, girl, this ain't how you should be looking. You got to do something different.
Yeah. So tell me about kind of that. That's like, it's like a huge lifestyle change that you made.
It is. Oh my gosh. And it's funny cause I kind of love it.
Yeah. You do love it.
I kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't work out today. Can I go work out after brunch? I'm going to figure out how I can go work out after brunch. Like, it's become crazy. Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't work out. I didn't like working out. And I mean, I kind of still don't like working out, but I like the way I look after working out. And more than that, I like the way I feel, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was at a place in my life where, you know, I had just gotten really comfortable. And I was always like, look, I look good naked. I'm good. I am good. I look good naked. I ain't got no problems over here. Until a point where I was like, well, if I raise my hand and I tilt my head to the side and squint my eyes, I look good naked. You know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone looks good when they raise their hands above their head. Because everything rises up. If you are listening right now, just raise your hands above your head and you will see how everything just lifts. So I was doing that and I was squinting and tilting my head. And I was like, the fact that you have to do all of this to look the part. And so I just got sick and tired.
I used to go home and raise my hands. I don't think I've ever done this before.
Watch how your breasts lift up.
Oh my gosh.
Watch how they lift up.
Okay.
So I got to a point where I couldn't fit my clothes. And I had to go shopping because I couldn't fit anything. And I love to shop, and I didn't want to go shopping because I had to go shopping because I want to go shopping. And I was really annoyed and bothered by all of that. And so I was like, look, if you want something to change, you got to do something about it, right? Like, mm-hmm. We hear that saying all the time, you are not a tree. You want change, get up and move.
You are not a tree.
You are not a tree. Move.
I've never heard that
You've
before,
never heard that? Like, you want something different. You want change. You're not a tree. Get up and move. Hmm. And so
truth.
I made the commitment to like, all right, you know, I had done a segment with Robert Brace on Kayla Walker Hates Working Out, and he had this whole like how to get in shape in 4 minutes. And so I was like, that's my kind of guy. Like, I need to work out with him. And I actually had, you know, came up with the concept and pitched it with Centric TV, and it got green lit. And so I started working out with him, and it was a series called Snatched on CentricTV.com. Mm-hmm. But with that, so we would tape once a week, right? But I had to commit to working out with him 4 times a week. Imagine that, going from not working out at all to working out 4 times a week.
Goodness, that's a huge, that's like the thing, because I don't know if anyone else has ever done that or if people understand how much of a commitment that is, but to go from not working out and then you're, and then kind of like shocking your body in a way. You didn't gradually ease into working
out. And for
me,
like I felt like I needed to do something drastically. Like people are like, oh, I'm gonna start by walking over the bridge and then I'm gonna pick up a class. I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, it's gonna take you forever to see some results. Like, I wanted to see quick results. Mm-hmm. And he has something called a 28-day challenge, which really equals out to 8 weeks. And so we started working out. And I'm not just talking about working out 4 times a week, but I had to change my lifestyle. I love coffee with a lot of cream and some sugar, and I had to cut that. I had to cut alcohol. I had to cut anything that was white, cut sugar, cheese, flour, French fries. All that stuff was cut. And I had to do like clean eating, like legit clean eating, and work out 4 times a week. But it was challenging, but I'm a person, like, if I have directions, if I have instructions, I can follow the rules all day long. Like, if this is what I'm doing, if I have the guidelines, I'm good. And 8 weeks later,
you saw
stomach's
some
on
results.
flat, ass like, what's that? And I saw the results. And then it becomes like, people have to understand, like, I think a lot of times we think about fitness as like, oh, I'm just going to do this for a couple months. No. But in order for it to work, and to continue working, you have to incorporate it into your life and you have to make it a lifestyle, which is what I did. And so, like, instead of going to the bar, I'd be like, hey, girlfriend, let's go to SoulCycle, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lifestyle. Like, people just think, I'm going to do this for a couple of months, or I'm going to do this for a minute. But you really have to make it a lifestyle, especially if you want to maintain it. And as you're getting older and your body, you know, moves differently, and so I made a lifestyle. And so instead of going to happy hour, I'd be like, girl, let's go to SoulCycle. Yeah. And, you know, or let's go work out and do something fun and then go get some fun eats afterwards, if you will.
Fun eats. Okay, that's cool. I mean, it's been really awesome to watch you just do it and commit to it.
Thank you.
You posted some photo on Instagram and I was like, girl, that's you?
You was like, who is that? Who's that skinny girl? I was like, hello, hi, that's me.
And I was like, yo.
Tis I.
It's amazing. I don't even mean that in like a rude way. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to talk about just like kind of some stuff in culture and maybe things that you're paying attention to.
Oh, boy.
I'm curious, like, whether it's what your media diet is, if you have a favorite writer right now, maybe a favorite song. Like, what in, I want to know, even as someone in media who consumes so much of it, what actually grabs your attention? What are you actually interested in? Is it a reality TV show? Who are you paying attention to? Who do you think is doing something smart or interesting or maybe dumb but really captivating, which I'm super into?
It's so funny because I'm always intrigued by, like, the things I'll see you read and like tweet and stuff, and I'm always like, oh my god, that's so interesting.
Do you?
I need to
start tweeting more of what
you
I read.
Do. Like, and even your comments, and I'll be like, I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was happening. You know, like paying attention to like your tweets and stuff. You know, it sounds crazy. Like, you keep me young, Darian. You keep me young. Well, like,
some people tell me that they tell me, I have some older friends, and they're like, you keep me younger
because the things that you're paying attention to and reading are not the things that I'm paying attention to and reading. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I need to do more of that. But, like, I just feel so inundated by just
bullshit.
Life in general. Life. Okay, like, just bullshit, getting life, through life. Just getting through life. And it's like, I don't even have time to go peruse the internet and, like, let me see this article to read. You know, I am always intrigued by the things that Blavity is doing. I think they do really dope content that, like, just catches you and lures you in. So I'm really loving them. you know, Awesomely Lovey, mm-hmm. who I think does really dope stuff. And I love what she's done and taking her voice and her digital know-how, you know, wrote a book about it. And now she's been picked up by Shonda Rhimes and she's creating a cable series. Like, I think that's dope. People that are creating genuine, sincere content that they're passionate about and that it evolves into something bigger than, you know, the beyond. Yeah. Like
Issa Rae.
Right. Like, I don't even know if that was her plan. I mean, I would imagine that was Issa Rae's plan, but I don't know if that was Awesomely Lovey's plan, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she wrote a book, it became a New York Times bestseller, and then they're like, we want to turn it into a television show. Like, I think stuff like that is awesome. So people that are just creating really dope content that's sincere and genuine to them, like, stuff like that catches my eye, and it's inspiring and motivating. In that sense, not that I want to write a book, but it's so many people that are like writing books. Like, writing books is the new blogging, and I'm like, kudos to all y'all. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever do it.
Is writing but kudos books to y'all. The new blogging? I feel like no. I feel like people, if anything, and this is
girl, most, are you kidding me? Everybody's writing a book.
I know everyone's writing a book, and I'm in a way I'm happy that everyone is writing a book because I want it to never be a thing that people aren't writing books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I want people to certainly like always to be writing books and it not to be a dying art. I don't ever want to read. No. I don't ever want to read an article like book publishing is decreasing. Or,
right. I think it's dope that more people I know more people that look like you and I are writing books, right? Yeah. And about things that are relevant to you and I or of interest to you and I, if you will. And so it used to be before there weren't all these authors of color. Like, you know, you had your Terry McMillan. I mean, this is your Terry McMillan and others. And you're like, oh, whoa, this is a really big thing. Like, that was the only thing you did. But now people have multiple titles and then they add author to it, which I think is just really great.
Yeah. Okay. Here's
I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it did.
Okay, great.
Here's my last question before we go to the plus one segment, which I know you don't know anything about, so I'll brief you on it later.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was so shady.
She's so shady, guys. You guys don't see this backhanded shade that Darian always gives.
That was so shady.
Hope you don't edit that out with your shady ass.
Okay, what is your dream right now? What keeps you... I haven't asked this question in a long time.
Right.
I used to ask it to like every guest, and then I stopped, but I want to bring it back. What are you dreaming about right now? What keeps you up at night? What are you thinking about? What are you aspiring towards?
Man, the dream is so lofty, right?
Dream is so lofty.
Like, I mean, look, I got simple dreams of something like I would love to be married with kids. That's a dream. I would love to be on a national syndicated platform where whether you lived in New York or Canada, you could tune in and see Kayla Walker. But more than anything, like, I just really want to be happy. Like, that's the dream. And I think people are like, well, happiness, you just be happy. But, like, happiness is something that's every day. And that's a dream and that's always a goal. And so it sounds, like, simple and silly, but happiness is always the dream. To just be happy and satisfied in every area of your life. Professionally, personally, and yeah. Professionally and personally, right? What else exists? Yeah.
Spiritually.
That's personal, though.
Yeah, that's personal. You're right.
Professional, personal. Yeah. That's those. It's just those two.
Do you watch The Chef's Table on Netflix? That's going to be my plus one, actually. So.
No, I don't watch The Chef's Table, so that can't be your plus one.
Okay, well, no. Well, I have a plus one.
Oh.
Let's get into the plus one segment. Kayla's thought made me think about what I want my plus one to be. So the plus one segment is a time where I give the guest to shout out a person, place, thing, experience that they are loving right now. It could be a mindset. It could be, it's kind of circling back to the theme of the podcast, Am I Allowed to Like Anything? And it gives the guest a platform to talk about what they're loving right now.
Can I give one and then you can give one and then I can give another one?
Sure.
Okay. I'm actually giving this plus one, I think probably to annoy you.
I wish people could see my face expressions right now, which is why I think I need to start making videos with my podcast, because my facial expressions...
You should at least do like a Periscope or something.
Yeah, are over everything.
A Facebook Live or something. I'm going to give a plus one to Ratchet Reality TV. Oh, I wish you guys could see Darian's face right now. But there is a place for ratchet reality TV.
No, I agree.
My pastor was talking about this one time in church, and he's like, not for nothing, it makes me feel good about myself because I know no matter how bad my day was, it wasn't that bad. Like, I am not in a love triangle. I am not, you know, whatever else happens on reality TV that makes it ratchet. I am not in that place. And I think it's for me, it's entertaining and it's a place to sort of zone out of your world and really be like, OMG, people live like this. Mm-hmm. And look, it is scripted to some parts, but scripted or not, like people are enlisting themselves to live this quote unquote reality. And so there's, it's like, wow, I am not that. And this is a judge-free zone. Kudos to them. If that's how you want to live your life, God bless you. But I feel like it gets like a really hard, bad rap, right? But there's something to it, whether it's a lesson of like, whoa, I don't want to end up like that. So I need to go do this so I don't end up there. Or whether it's just like really just a form of like, this is some BS. I mean, look, you are totally like, oh my God, I just lost brain cells over that.
No, I'm not. No.
No, you totally are. And that's fine. That's fine.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say something after this because I'm not opposed to reality TV. I think I just love, what I love to see in reality TV is the rise of the individual through the platform. Like, granted, I knew who Cardi B was.
Like, you love Cardi B.
Yeah, like, I knew who Cardi B was before Love & Hip Hop.
You helped me love her. Because yes. I was totally like, OMG, Cardi B is like the new Kim Kardashian, where you become famous off of sexual exploits, and people don't realize. Like, I was just like, no.
Yeah, and she was like, she was someone who I was following from, like, her very first Instagram account.
You and my little sister.
Yeah, like,
people knew her before I knew her.
Instagram used to delete her account all the fucking time. She was casted on Love & Hip Hop as like a minor character and just kind of ended up like rising.
Two seasons later, she's I quit because I'm booked, busy, and blessed. I got things to do.
Yeah. So anyways, I think it's also interesting to like just view like the human character and like the human individual through reality TV, which I think is probably what I like about it. But yeah, I don't watch it consistently just because, like, number one, I don't have cable and I don't have a TV. But also, like, I just get such a headache and it all gets so boring to me. But anyways, that's cool that reality TV. I used to sit here. You used to make me watch. What was the Toni Braxton show?
See, and that's, I feel like that's healthy reality TV because that's a family and it's like real, like that's family drama. So it's not like I'm going to throw a drink on you, but these are real issues that this family has.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, so here's my plus one.
Let me hear your plus one.
It's also a TV show too.
Yay.
It's The Chef's Table on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially profiles one chef per episode. They could live anywhere in the world. And just really goes through their creative process of how they make food.
Really?
And I think that also what I love about this show is these are incredibly creative people and food just happens to be their outlet. And I just learned so much from watching them, from seeing people who just are not like me at all. There's this one monk. She's a woman. She lives in like the mountains in South Korea somewhere. Her name's Jiang Kwan. And
does she have one episode solely dedicated to her?
She has one episode solely dedicated to her. They're like mini docuseries. And
how long is the episode?
For like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. And so is it like all Netflix shows where like the entire series is up?
Yeah.
How many episodes are there?
So there's three seasons so far. And there are, I want to say they maybe do like nine per season.
So you've been binging.
Yeah, I have.
What was that face?
It's like a guilt. I have, but like I went through a point in time where I was just watching all of them because I was just so intrigued by like the human capacity of these people who they all kind of have this lining of being quite daring and quite okay with being who they are and being their themselves. And food is just like their outlet. You know, this is what they chose to be creative. And anyways, the previous one that I watched was about this woman. She grew up in South Korea. Her mom died when she was 17 and she was so obviously like distraught. She like went to a monastery and became a monk basically at the age of 17 and has been a monk since then.
What?
She doesn't consider herself a chef. You know, she considers herself a monk who like makes food, and she makes extraordinary food, delicious food
that, for the monastery.
For the monastery. And her food has been like reviewed by the New York Times.
See, I'm so intrigued by that. And I'm like, I wonder how they got access. Like,
right.
And like, to even do a television show. They were in
the temples watching her praying.
Right.
All of these things.
And so I'm like, I'm sure it took hella long to convince her to be on this show.
Yes. And so I'm just so inspired by that show, because even though I don't technically work in a field that is seen on the surface as creative, I'm so...
You think that?
I don't think that people really view what we do as creative work. I don't really think that. I think people view us, at least for me, like I work in breaking news, and I don't think people like view breaking news as creative work, but it is creative work.
Yeah, because you have to tell that story in a way that's captivating and engaging.
Yeah, and like,
so you got to come up with a different angle than everybody else.
Right, like, and you have all these tools at your disposal on these social platforms. So it's like, how are you going to... And you're going to use these analytics to, you know, just like see what the people are loving. Like,
right. And know how to take that on and do more of it or less of it.
And so like when I watch these shows, I'm able to take their processes and apply them to my work, even if it's not cooking, you know. And so anyways, I love it. I think that The Chef's Table is an extraordinary show. I think that you would probably like it too.
You totally just sold me on it. I'm totally gonna check it out.
That's great. Cool. I'm happy.
I'm totally checking it out. Finally a reason to use my Netflix.
Yeah. Anyone who wants my Netflix account, hit me up.
Hit me up, because I'm always like looking to get more bang for my buck. It's only me. I'm like, do you need a password? Everyone has their own account. I'm like, I'll give you my password. I don't never use it. I never use it.
And I have no issues. Like, I mean,
but I want it just in case system. I do want to watch something.
Right. So, okay, we should wrap this up.
Okay, wrap it up.
Kayla, thank you.
Thank you.
If you don't already follow Kayla on social media everywhere, it's KELAWALKER. Everything from like fitness to
fashion,
media, everything that you're into. You take amazing photos.
Thank you.
My social media editor Nicole Garter literally took a screenshot of your timeline and was like, this girl, you know, Kayla takes really good photos. You can take some notes from her.
Hey Nicole, call me.
But yeah, and also shout out to Nicole, who has just come on as my social media editor.
That's dope.
And I'm like really grateful for her, and she's doing an awesome, awesome job. So hopefully she like continues to work with me and doesn't think I'm too annoying.
Hopefully.
Cross my fingers. So anyways, thank you, Kayla. I think this has been great. I think that everyone who doesn't know you or know you has gotten to know you.
I hope so.
In a really great way.